Second reading today comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, in the second chapter, verses 1 through 12. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will govern my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." When they had heard the king, they went their way, and lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. May our hearts be illumined in the hearing of this word. So today is Epiphany. This word Epiphany appears many times throughout the New Testament, and it refers sometimes to Jesus' birth, that his birth was an Epiphany. It refers sometimes to his appearance after the resurrection, that there was an Epiphany of Jesus. He appeared to the people. In five different occasions, it refers to the second coming of Christ, when that epiphany will happen, when Christ will appear again among us. There's a related word related to epiphany, and that's theophany, and that is the appearance of God. Theos is God, so the appearance of God, or the vision of God. So we have many theophanies throughout the Bible, stories like God appearing in the burning bush and speaking. God appearing to the people in pillars of cloud, pillars of fire. That was a theophany, an appearance of God. God spoke to Hagar and to Abraham through angels, it said. It said an angel of the Lord spoke to them, but then it spoke God's words in the first person. So in some ways, that's a theophany of God. God appeared and spoke to Hagar and Abraham. So we celebrate these appearances of God in different ways in different churches. In Eastern Christian churches, like the Orthodox churches of all many different varieties, Epiphany celebrates all different aspects of Jesus' incarnation, Jesus' appearance. So they celebrate the birth, they celebrate the visit by the Magi, which is the moment when Christ first appeared to the Gentiles. Because before that, everyone around him were his Jewish people. So when the Gentile wise ones came, that was the first appearance to the Gentiles. The Eastern Church also celebrates baptism as a moment when God spoke the words to Jesus, "You are my beloved." And it's considered an epiphany of the Trinity because the Holy Spirit came down as a dove, Jesus Christ was there, the voice of God spoke to Jesus, the whole Trinity makes an appearance there, the baptism of Jesus. And they even sometimes celebrate the first miracle that Jesus did at the wedding of Cana, which is another kind of appearance of the manifestation of Jesus and what he could do for the world. But Western Christians, I don't know if you know this this history, like the early church split, and there was a pope, a bishop in Constantinople, who oversaw the Eastern churches, Russian Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, all these Orthodox churches, and then there was a pope or a bishop in Rome, the pope, who oversaw the Western churches. And Protestant churches, like Presbyterian churches, come from that lineage of the Western Church, ranging from the Catholics and the Lutherans and the Presbyterians. So we have different traditions in these two streams of the Eastern and Western Church. So in the Western Church, we've tended to focus Epiphany on the arrival of the wise ones, to celebrate the Magi, to have gift-giving, maybe have a Three Kings cake where there's something hidden in it. If you find the almond or the whatever's hidden in there, you get to be king for the day. These are some traditions of the Western Church for Epiphany. In Germany, small groups of children go around caroling and carrying a star on a stick. And I was reading an article about that this week, and they pointed out that the Bible, after all, doesn't say that the wise ones were men. It's true, it doesn't. And it doesn't say there were three. It just says wise men came and gave gifts of frankincense, gold, and myrrh. Some people have assumed it was three kings because there were three gifts. But some other early traditions of the church have said there were 12 magi. So especially in the Eastern churches, they tend to celebrate the 12 magi who came to see Jesus. But we, and also it doesn't say the magi were kings. It just says wise ones came. But probably the tradition evolved to call them kings because in Psalm 72, there's a line which says, may all kings fall down before him. And so we think, oh, these were kings falling down before Jesus. So tradition has evolved, and we gain new meanings and new ways to remember and celebrate things. So there's the epiphany of Jesus' birth. There's the theophanies of God, where God appears at the baptism. God also appears to Jesus at the transfiguration up on the mountaintop and speaks again to Jesus, calling him his son. One definition of theophany, an appearance of God, is an unambiguous appearance of God to man or humans, where the human has no doubt that it's God. So when do we have an unambiguous appearance of God these days? That's a little tougher. For me, God does not tend to speak out of clouds or bushes when I walk by. I have to look for God in much more subtle ways. And I, as I'm going through my life, I wonder, is that God, like that thing that happened, that amazing thing, is this God working, or when something gets solved, is that God? This week I was in a Bible study on the book of Acts with Grace Commons Church, and as we were studying the book of Acts, someone asked the group, have you ever heard the voice of God, like sort of heard a voice? And this person felt they had heard the voice of God, nobody else sort of fessed up to having had that kind of experience. But I have had a couple of moments in very traumatic situations where I felt like I heard words. It reminds me of this scene in the book, in the movie, Eat, Pray, Love. I don't know if any of you have read that book. But in there, the main character describes a time when she's contemplating divorce, and she's distraught about it, and it's late at night, like the middle of the night, 2 a.m., and she's in the bathroom laying on the floor crying because she feels so distressed about this, and she's praying to God with all her might, and she never prays to God. She begins, in fact, by saying, God, I'm a big fan of your work. I know we don't talk much, but then she prays, and she's just saying, what should I do? What should I do? And she hears a voice, which she describes as her deepest intuition, but also as a voice that kind of comes to her, which says, go to bed, Liz. And in that moment, it was the perfect thing for her to do, because she was just spinning and spinning and spinning and lost in her own angst and discomfort. To go to bed, things will evolve, like there is a pacing here. And for her, she took great comfort in that. And I've similarly, in very intense moments, a couple of times heard little commands like that. Once I felt like these words rose up in me, that, you know, in a case when someone was really being very mean and I was very distraught, and this voice rose up inside me, and maybe it was my deepest intuition, and it said, don't listen to her. Don't listen to her. I think that maybe is my most unambiguous, or that's very ambiguous actually still. Like, who was that? Was that my inner intuition, or was that God? You know, but that's a moment when I felt supported, helped, comforted. given a commandment of something to do. But usually it's not that radical, even though that's still ambiguous. God works in such more subtle ways all around us. There's no star for us to follow. There's no manger at the end of our looking. But there is this place to fall to our knees, to ask for help, to acknowledge God as more powerful than us, to let go of this sense either that I can or that I must control everything in my life. There's so many things that cannot be controlled. And so, like the Magi, I want to fall on my knees and honor that there is a power greater than me. Another time that I kind of open up to that epiphany of Christ or the theophany of God is when I go and take rest in nature, in places of radical beauty. In those kinds of situations, again, I can be opened. I've had this experience just going to the shore of Lake Michigan and sitting on the beach by myself and looking at the vastness of that water and the vastness of the sky. I've gone there to cry at times, you know, and I'm comforted by the majesty of God in those moments. And so I ask you to consider what kinds of things in your own life open you to an epiphany of Christ, or a theophany of God. What kinds of moments? Is it moments of extreme need and desperation? That's fine. Is it moments of radical beauty? Is it in exchanges that you have between yourself and friends or strangers on the street when someone is incredibly, miraculously helpful to you? Where are your epiphanies? One of my favorite artists is Georgia O'Keeffe. I love her big flowers. And one of my favorite things that she has ever said, she wrote a bit about why she painted flowers huge like this, like just the blossoms of flowers. And she said something like, I don't have it written here, but paraphrase, said something like, I paint what I see of a flower so that even busy New Yorkers can see what I see. Because she would look and take the time, but a busy New Yorker, which is really a metaphor for all of us, never really looked that closely to the beauty of God's creation. She said, to really see takes time, like to be a friend takes time, which I found also very inspirational. To see a flower as though it were that big, or to really show up in someone's life, to be their friend. To me, these are moments that I think can open us up to the epiphanies of Christ and the theophanies of God. So, where do we have epiphanies and theophanies? How do we identify with the Magi, the three kings? This week, I was almost in a car accident. I was not. But I was doing everything right. I went into an intersection and a car coming the other way completely ran through the red light. And I saw them coming and stepped on the gas and just got out of their way and they went zooming right through the intersection. And I just thought, one split second different and that car would have been right in me. That makes you stop and think about your life. Like, I might not have arrived that day where I was going. But I did arrive. I think I was heading home. But it made me start thinking about arrivals. Where are we going? And how do we know when we get there? And I think it's something about this taking time to see a flower big. Like, when you can see a flower like that, you've arrived at that flower. You know, when you're really present with a friend, you've arrived at that friend, and you hear what's going on for them, or they receive you fully, and they get something about you. That's an arrival at friendship. So, like the wise ones, we bring gifts to the world. And when we arrive, when we show up in those ways, we are a gift to the world. And we receive the gifts that God gives us through the world. On New Year's Day, I woke up kind of cranky, a little grumpy, and I saw my thoughts spinning in my mind, and I thought, upset, I thought, I decide to be happy today. This is not to say I wasn't like pushing down my suffering or whatever. I just knew that I had spin in my mind about the things that made me feel anxious or whatever. Or I could kind of set those aside. I'm going to deal with them, you know. I'm not going to disengage from my life, but I'm going to redirect my thoughts to something else. Think about how amazingly blessed I am and how beautiful the world is, even with all its struggles, even with its messiness, even with its scariness. I posted on Facebook, today I choose to be happy. It's my gift to the world. You're welcome. So much better of a gift than being cranky all day and rubbing against the people that I encounter. So, if that's a kind of a blessing. And one of the ways that the Eastern Orthodox Church celebrates Epiphany is by giving blessings. And they bless homes and churches. And they make a symbol of this. This is new for me. I just encountered this. I'm going to share with you how they bless the houses and churches. It reminds me of something that I did know about before, which is a Jewish tradition. In Jewish tradition, there's something called a mezuzah. Some of you have heard of this. So it goes right on the door post as you walk in the door. It's just a little box, and it has scripture in it. And it's scripture from the book of Deuteronomy called the Shema, which is where it says, hear, O Israel. That's what Shema means, hear. Hear, the Lord is one. You know, worship, love God with all your heart, strength, and soul. And post this on the doorways to your homes, it says in Deuteronomy. So the Jewish people have done it. They posted it there. When you walk in, you may touch it or kiss it. It's an honoring of the scripture, and it's a way to remember that where you go is holy ground. I've always loved the mezuzah, but we never really did that in Christian tradition. But here is something that is in Christian tradition. It's from, like I said, the Eastern Church, so many of us won't have been familiar with it. But there's a way of like blessing a home by invoking the arrival of the Magi. And so in tradition their names, so we don't know them biblically, but in tradition their names are Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. I think I said those right. So it's C-M-B. And these same letters could also, in Latin, mean, I don't really know the Latin words, but something like Christe, Mansionem, Benedictate. It's Christ, Christe, Mansionem. You can hear mansion in there. It's like this place, this house, Benedicte, blessed. Christ, this house, blessed. Caspar, Melchior, Balthazar. Okay, so CMB. So the blessing of the house and the church, they do with chalk. I have little baggies back here, little pieces of chalk here. If any of you want to make up a little baggie of chalk and do this at your home, you're welcome to. They go over the... I can't reach up. I'm here. They're right across here. The year, so 2013. And the sign of the cross, plus Christus, Caspar, the cross. What's his name?
Melchior.
Or Mansionem, this place. The cross. Benedicte, blessed. And the cross. You might want to put the 13 empty right here things in. It's a blessing for the house. This afternoon at Grace Commons, during our worship, everyone will get chalk, and they're going to go around and they're going to bless this church. And hopefully the sidewalks, if they're dry, and do this, so you may see some signs of that when you come back here in future weeks. But I invite you to play with blessings and think about how you bless people by the decisions you make of what you share with them and how we can just make a mark. It's a reminder. This isn't magic. It's not making the blessing, but it's reminding us that God is already blessing this place. God is here with us, incarnate. So, happy Epiphany, everyone. Let us carry on in our time of worship, at this time, with a singing, as with gladness men of old, hymn number 68.